Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite, the world's favorite, the aliens in the year 2098's favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast. Something about two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And it is the daytime, and yet we are both possibly more tired than normal because I'm still sick and still pregnant. And Carmen is working crazy hours, so we're doing our best.
I'm like, I woke up this morning and I was like, I texted Kelsey and I thought, today is the least I think I've ever wanted to record in my entire life. And I love recording. I love
it's
getting to see.
It's definitely not the least I've ever wanted to record, but I was like, wouldn't it be great if I could be asleep instead?
Right.
I have a Pop-Tart in my mouth. Sorry.
Yeah. And I love getting to see Kelsey's face, and I love getting to talk about Grey's Anatomy with all of you. But I like just was like, do people need an episode from us today? Are people that needy that they need the thing that we've promised them?
They're not needy. They're no. Supportive.
They're supportive.
We're needy. so we need to lay down.
So the last two nights at work I was doing like late shifts, but also this is a time that I wish that I lived near you guys because my car is making little vibrating feelings when it gets to high speeds. And I'm like, can I just go pick Michael up and let him drive my car and see what happens?
That's not a good thing. I fear he's going to say something about the transmission.
Well,
every time we've looked for new cars, that's the number one thing he always says. It's like, we have to make sure it's not shaking when you're like on the interstate because that's really bad.
Well, hopefully it's not a consistent thing, but either way, like it's only when I get above like 55, but either way, not that I speed ever. Also for the record, I never speed.
Well, going over 55 on the interstate is normal.
Well, some of them around here are 55.
Yeah.
I would never exceed that.
The interstate is like, I feel mostly the minimum is 55. And there are sometimes it drops on to 55 and I'm like, that feels unsafe. It should be like 70.
I'm tempted anytime I see someone driving in like the 40s on the highway. I'm like, I know the limit is 55, but there's no minimums around Chicago. Not in the Chicagoland area. They don't have them. If there are, they're not posted. I should say that. But I'm like, do I want to be the guy who calls the police on these people?
Yes.
Like, I'm willing to.
If they're driving in like the far left lane and they're going 15 under, call the non-emergency line exists for a reason. You don't have to call 911. You can call the non-emergency line.
I'm calling Biden on them.
Do it. Yeah, that'll really get shit done. Although, I did just see, and I have not fact-checked this at all, so I don't know if this is real. Someone shared that the FDA did ban red dye 40.
Wow, but they're calling it a different name now. Did they ban the name of the chemical
red dye
40?
Sorry, red dye 3. Is that the same thing? I don't know if that's the same thing, but they did dye red. They did ban officially 50 minutes ago per CNN. FDA bans ingredient from food.
Good.
Some companies instead utilize red dye 40.
Which
is better? That seems odd.
I haven't had Lucky Charms in like 3 months because of this red dye 40.
Shocking that you've just 3 months ago discovered that red dye is bad.
No. 3 months. I knew that it was bad. I just 3 months ago said, new year, new me.
3 months ago in November, you were like, new year, new me.
Yep. And I was talking about 2006. So new year, new me, 2006. I'm catching up. Anyways, so I was driving the shaky wheels. I don't know where I was going with that story, but I do. Oh, so I haven't been taking my car to the city to work these late nights. I've been taking the train, which means that I have to wait for the train to get me back to where my car is parked, and then I drive home from there. So I got home last night at like 1:45 a.m. I had a quick little snack, which was just a block of brie cheese. I know I'm going to pay for it today. And
that's a good snack. Did you have a cracker with it?
No, just
literally
just straight cheese, dude.
You are like, a psychopath, but it's
So I went to bed at like 2:30, and then Marlo at 4:30 decided that it was going to take 3 attempts for her to go back to sleep because she wanted, she was yearning to lay in bed with us. And I'm like, go to bed, woman.
Bennett was just like screaming at like 5:45. He was like, mama, mama. And I was like, I'm busy being asleep after not being asleep.
Right.
So I had to wake up to pee. And then I had to sit there and have really bad heartburn because like 2:30 is when I get the really bad heartburn now. Mm. And also annoying, they say, and this is, I will say, when I say they say, I mean, it's an old wives' tale that if you have really bad heartburn when you're pregnant, it's because your baby has a lot of hair. Mm. And I have had really bad heartburn all 3 times. And let me tell you, those first 2 were fucking bald. So it's just a lie. I get really bad heartburn and these babies come out with no hair.
Well, it'd be really great.
But they got no hair.
If this one came out with just all the hair, and then you can throw your data out the window because there's no consistencies.
I know, right?
So I don't know what I was about to say. Oh, nope. Lost it again. I'm doing great.
We are doing amazing. When did you watch the episode?
I watched it yesterday on the train. Yeah, yeah.
I also watched it yesterday. Where are you with Private Practice? How's that going?
I actually am almost done with season 3. I watched... Okay. Spoiler alert, everyone skip 30 seconds if you don't want to hear about this or you are watching Private Practice or you're like waiting for our content. But 3, 2, 1. Dude, when Violet came back, what? I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it. Yeah. I'm not ready to say that I like the show, but like I do feel now that I'm taking less pressure on note writing, I'm able to enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah. It's so different than Grey's, which I understand the comparison because you are watching it in direct relation to Grey's. And it is technically a spinoff, but I've always felt like it's very different because like the drama is so much more like, ugh, drama-y. And then the medical aspect is more like conceptual, right? They're not doing surgery, so they're not showing you like, oh, we're doing this really intense surgery. They're just having these really intense cases that are more drama on the emotional side and less like conceptually, medically, they are intense cases, but it's just not kind of portrayed the same way that Grey's is. So it does have a different feel, but I've always felt it to be much more dramatic. I've always enjoyed it, though. I've always loved Addison, and I've always loved Charlotte. And I always love Cooper. But I will say, I don't know if I said this. Someone, and I don't remember who, I don't remember if it was on Discord or an email or something, but they were like, kind of shocking that you love Cooper because you hate Derek so much and Cooper also sucks. And I was like, hold the phone. I'm sure we'll get into it when I watch it with like a more like eagle eye or whatever. He does, him and Charlotte have a lot of problems. But I think because you get to know Cooper as a single person first, that is probably where I had the opportunity to build like the ability to like him. Whereas Derek, I was like, wow, you suck immediately. So
yeah. And Derek is just constantly in garbage relationship situations. Although honestly, this episode kind of a cute daddy. But
yeah.
let me just say
they're very cute parents.
Yes. The last thing I'm going to say about Private Practice is, and I am so sorry if I offend the Derek and Meredith stands out there, I am so much more invested in Cooper and Charlotte than I ever was for any couple. Mm-hmm. Other than I really do want to see Mark and Lexi get together. But I think because I saw Cooper in Scrubs before, and so far Charlotte, I think, is becoming one of the more interesting complex characters in the show.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for them, but I'm rooting for them more than I ever rooted for like Derek and Meredith. Ugh, man. Anyways.
Yeah, well, and I feel that the back and forth with Cooper and Charlotte is just about them, whereas like the back and forth with Derek and Meredith for so long was also about Addison or also about the vet or also about Rose. Like it was never just about them and their issues. Whereas Cooper and Charlotte, it's really just about them and their issues.
Yeah. And so. Sheldon is like a funny character.
I love Sheldon. He is the perfect comic relief for that show. I'm so glad you got to him being there.
Yeah, he might be probably my favorite individual character on the show, but I don't know. Like, there's still a lot more, but I want you guys to know I'm really, really doing my best. Every minute that I can on the train when I'm not watching Grey's, I'm watching Private Practice.
Yes.
So, slowly but surely.
Yes, yes, yes. Good times.
So, with that being said, I have a couple shout-outs. I know we have some new Patreon members.
We do.
Do you want to start with that?
Friends. Yeah, let me pull those. We have Shelby. Shout-out, Shelby.
Shelby!
Amalia.
Amalia, welcome.
Renee,
wait, this is Renee. I think I shouted Renee out a couple weeks ago.
And
so
then she did join Patreon.
Yes, welcome.
And then Jamie, and I think, Jamie's the last
Jamie!
One. So hello, welcome. Thank you all for joining us. It's been delightful having you all on Discord.
Jamie, I think I messaged you on Instagram after you followed me. So hello and welcome. A couple of shout outs that I have. So number one, Serena, locking it down from Italy, from Bari. And I was talking to her about my roots in, my family's roots in Naples. So, Serena, Serena, shout out. Thank you for given some solid representation to the Italian squad. Shout out to Madison, who lives in Logan Square, right where I used to live. So shout out. You have a real chance to see Carmen walking down the street and take a selfie and say no spoilies. So if that ever happens, hello. And then also, I do want to shout out Maddie, again, our resident Teddy and Henry fan club president. There was like six messages from her that were all very long and very beautiful and really incredible that I forgot to respond to. So okay. Maddie, I know I'm going to get to you soon, but shout out to you. And also last shout out here. Two more. One to Cole, our friend Cole. I know, you're recovering from surgery, so just want to say shout out. I really appreciate the fact, Kelsey and I both appreciate the fact that you're listening to us on your surgery recovery. So, Cole, big shout outs to you, buddy. And then last is to Janisha. Just constantly, every time I go into the chat, I think I see something from Janisha, and it just brings me so much joy. And I lied. One more. Katya. Love to have you. You're also just so wildly engaging in the Discord chats and then on Instagram. So thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just so full of gratitude. Also, Marissa, thank you for everything you do on Discord. I'm so full of gratitude. Kelsey, shout out to you. I love it. Okay, I'm done. Okay. Shut up, Carmen. I'm done.
I'm just trying to see if the Supreme Court is doing anything useful. They're not. They have not yet released the opinion on TikTok. It doesn't really matter. Goodness. Because I
did
think
you see that Elon Musk is wanting to buy TikTok? Like, dude, what?
Just ban it.
Get out of here.
Just ban it.
Although I gotta tell you, the next car that I get is gonna be that refreshed Model Y. It looks sick. Have you seen the pictures?
Just don't get a Cybertruck. No, I don't look at Teslas. Also, okay. I watch so many videos of people not able to get into them because it gets cold and the thing like freezes and won't open. You live where it's so cold.
It's fair.
That feels like a concern. Like, it probably wouldn't be a concern here for me or in Florida. But anyways, just don't buy a Cybertruck. They're so fucking ugly. I did have something else to say. I hate Elon Musk. Okay, that's probably it.
First buddy!
Asshat.
You're my first buddy.
Thanks, pal.
That's where you should say, like, "Ah, you're my first buddy," and then we.
Yeah,
like,
that's why I looked away with shifty eyes.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
It's an audio podcast, but it's great. Okay.
Insert shifty eyes here.
That was me taking a deep breath.
What?
I'm so jealous you're going to Disney World next month.
Queen Kamayas. And then again, apparently, with Jess's entire freaking family at the end of the year, I'm whatever.
She said August, which sounds like the worst time to do that, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
We're thinking about the end of September, early October.
You should think about August.
No. With a newborn?
What?
Please. August is my birthday. I'm going to celebrate it here where it's not, where I'm not melting.
And your birthday is August 12th.
Nope.
17th? 7th. 7th.
Yeah. 7th.
Dang it. I will get it someday.
And your birthday is November 4th, also the day that I got engaged.
Yeah, so that's like easy. Nothing has ever happened
also
in my life on
day
August 7th.
That one of my sister-in-laws, it's also her birthday on November 4th.
Can I do one more shout out? Speaking
oh
of.
Oh my God.
Shout out to Orlando Joe. Just.
Oh my God, yes.
I saw a picture of him and his wife, and I don't remember her name.
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Oh, mm-hmm. Like Charlotte King.
Or Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web. Yeah, yes, the web. What a tangled web we weave, am
the
I right?
Web we weave.
Yeah, just you guys are so cute together. So Joe from Orlando, listen, big virtual hugs. Love you, man.
Okay. It's been six.
I got one more shot.
Oh my god.
Shout out to the brie cheese currently destroying my colon.
Do you need to take lactate? Are you lactose?
No, I'm good. Actually, no, I'm pretty good. I didn't.
Is it just because it was too much and only that?
Yeah. I have no problem with cheese. I shouldn't have had a whole block. I know it's going to like tear my sphincter in half when I poop later, but it's fine.
That feels like maybe you have a sensitivity to lactose.
No, I don't get gassy or tooty.
Then why can't you poop normal?
Well, because cheese constipates you.
Look at this giant pile of boxes.
I love it.
The Christmas deliveries that we have to like slowly break down because our recycling bin isn't big enough. Okay. This is episode 11 of the 8th season. It is episode 159 overall. And it is called This Magic Moment. And that's
sure
that
is.
Exact song.
Yeah, this is, you know, every once in a while we get the exact song that you are thinking of, and that this is it. This Magic Moment is written by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann.
My favorites.
It was released, what's that?
My favorites.
You know, oh man, I can't go a day without listening to Doc and Mort, am I right? Whoa, are they Back to the Future? No, it was Marty.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Dang it.
Doc Brown.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that movie. So,
dude, why do you have two phones? Are you a drug dealer?
Yeah. It's my work phone. It's over there. And then my drug phone is my personal phone.
The drug dealing work.
I found out. Can I? You know how like my life is kind of like a soap opera sometimes?
No, but please go ahead.
My cousin. We were having tacos with my cousins the other night. And when the husband and I went out to go get tacos from the place, like we'd go pick them up, he was telling me about how one of his friends did an actual cocaine drug deal in the parking lot of their baby shower.
Oh, that's classy.
So, you know. This Magic Moment is off of the... it's from January 28th, 1960. And it is, I guess it's considered by the, this is the Drifters.
Yeah.
Yes. The Drifters. Yes.
With Benny something.
Benny and the Jets. No. No, not that. Hold on. Let me find this here. Because apparently every time I X out of anything, it ruins my life. Ben E. King.
Yeah.
The Drifters and Ben E. King. So the charts for this, it did do pretty well. It reached as high as number 6 in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It hit number 1 in Canada, and then it hit the U.S. Catchbox Top 100 at number 5. So pretty popular. This song, so I am Not a huge fan, but I think this is one of those ones where you know it automatically, so it gets bonus points. So yeah. Objectively, I think this song is probably like a 4. Subjectively, this is a 3 from me as a human. Also, I recognize the irony in me subjectively ranking and objective ranking out loud. I apologize. New year, new me from 2008. Now we're catching up slowly to 2025. So with that being said, it did not make it into my iTunes library and it did not live there to start. So take that for what you will, Drifters and Ben E. King fans. I apologize. Kelsey, back to you, my friend.
Thank you. This episode was written by Zoanne Clack and directed by Steve Robin. It aired January 12th, 2012 to 10.71 million views. So we're going to back up in those double digits. The Netflix and Hulu synopsis are yet again the same. And they are: the doctors form two teams to operate on conjoined twins. Which does feel correct.
Yeah, that's pretty succinct.
So there you go.
Can I start this episode by saying, is Weber a hero or a villain? I cannot tell. I can't tell if I love him or if I hate him right now in this microcosm.
They're really like doing a lot with him. And it's, I'm like, I feel like they specifically were like, he has to do this to Alex because anyone else and everyone will hate him. But Alex, you're like, well, Alex, sometimes you suck.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think, very strategic. I do. It's funny because you also, when Weber is talking to him, should we just talk about this like just really quick? Like, is this, yeah. Like we're just gonna have this full? Okay. So obviously, in all of the surgery stuff, Alex is having a time. He's, you know, Weber's getting in his head a couple of different times, but at the end when they're scrubbing in, and Weber is sitting there like
monologuing about his age and relevance.
You realize you got more yesterdays than you got tomorrows. And I'm like, okay, first off, like, dope quote, Lion King, whatever you want called yourself there. But like, I knew that he was playing him.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious. And it's like, Alex, how have you learned nothing?
Yeah. The first time I feel bad for Alex, the second time I'm like, bro, stop being an idiot. And you know he's trying to be kind, which sucks for Alex because he's trying to be compassionate. And then Weber walks in and tells Arizona, I stole candy from that idiot baby standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. It's so, so funny.
Yeah. Also, okay, let me read the monologue that Meredith has. I will say, because of the way they stage the front end of the episode, you do listen more to the monologue, like the voiceover at the top of the episode.
Yeah.
When they're like, when she's talking about it and them staging the ORs and everything, because of that, you're hearing it more at the beginning. But I'm still going to read it because it's still relevant. And then there's the end as well. Okay. Have you ever had the starring role in a play, a solo, in a recital? All eyes on you, waiting for you to do what they came to see, feeling the incredible pressure to perform. There was a time when they used to call operating rooms an operating theater. It still feels like one. Scores of people get ready for the show. The sets are arranged. There are costumes, masks, props. Everything has to be rehearsed, choreographed, all leading up to the moment when the curtain goes up. You know what they say about Carnegie Hall? There's only one way to get there. If only life was just a dress rehearsal and we had time for do-overs, we'd be able to practice and practice every moment until we got it right. Unfortunately, every day of our lives is its own performance. It seems like even when we get the chance to rehearse and prepare and practice, we're still never quite ready for life's grand moments. So that's the voiceover was.
So two things on that. Number one, we get a big bokeh representation.
Yeah, right off the top. She's like, here I am, the star of the show.
Yeah. Love that. She has earned it in spades. But also, the way that that monologue set up is, like, I thought this was going to be a very dramatic episode. And no bad things really happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some points that were hard to watch.
There are some emotional things. There's like, really just the one emotional thing.
Right. That just happened over and over 12 times.
Yeah.
Awkward. But yeah, there was nothing. There's like no one died. Everyone lived, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that monologue was a little bit of a bait and switch for me.
Well, it's more just like they had to practice the twin thing, and it was very much a team effort situation. It was an ensemble. And then the, like, oh, you're never ready for life's grand moments, because they're never, like, Zenzola just walks on her own when they're not even looking.
That is just a funny glimpse into the past, because when Marlo was walking, I like just reached in my pocket and pulled my phone out and just videoed it.
Oh. But did you get her first steps, or did she start walking and then you recorded it?
I think I actually started recording and then because I was like practicing with her and I was like, all right, let's do this. So I actually do think somewhere in my phone I have Marlo's first like one or two steps, not like a full walking, but her first like one or two steps on my phone somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that was during the time that I had a lot of free time on my hands after Marlo was one. In the dark sabbatical.
Forced sabbatical.
Forced sabbatical. Then there was the chosen sabbatical. And then, you know, I've come out of retirement twice. Mm. Yeah.
I would love to retire to my bed permanently.
All right. So where do you want to start for this episode?
Let's start with the twins. Arizona is annoying.
So annoying.
And like, I'm going to put the onus on her for being really annoying, but I don't feel like Owen is doing enough to step in to be like, you've got to tone it down because you're affecting everybody else in this room. He does it like a couple times. He's like, it's fine, we're moving on. But I feel like he should have had a different conversation with her in his position as chief, because he's like right there for all the practicing and he sees how she is being to all these other people. And I'm like, this is a problem.
Yeah. As someone,
I mean, Callie, I feel, does more to call her out on it than Owen does. And I'm like, your job as chief is to like stop this behavior.
Yeah. Literally, it's like the one of the only jobs amongst all of the many jobs.
Yeah. I was frustrated with that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And it's interesting because I think we've seen Arizona in like high pressure situations. And she had this whole like, remember her monologue about being like a sturdy person in the storm, or like good man in the storm, like. Arizona, you were not being a good man in the storm. You were literally crumbling under the pressure, and it was just the practice. That felt a little bit out of the character that they've written for her. Maybe the off script thing that we're supposed to believe is that now she's a parent, she sees like the kids' lives a little bit different because she has a kid. That's the only thing I can think of.
This surgery is just like a super big deal. Because, like,
well, yeah,
they were like, they can just stay connected and they'll be fine. But they were like, no, we must separate them. Obviously, this is also 2012. I would assume that it's probably become a little bit more common now. But I would assume at the time of the episode, it's pretty rare to be doing this kind of intense surgery.
Yeah. Also, anytime I see or hear the word conjoined twins, I think of the Cartoon Network Adult Swim. Every Thanksgiving, they have the stuff it in the cornucopia meme. Have you seen that? I know I share it every Thanksgiving time. But one of the things, it's like they put things in the cornucopia, and one of the things that they like randomly call out is, I say, conjoined twins, put it in the cornucopia. So I think of that whole meme
bizarre.
Every time. Yeah, it's, I'm going to send it to you. It's incredible. It's great. It's a song.
Okay. yeah, so the twins also, no shade. But why would you name them Brandon and Andy? That's like, my children's and dog's names don't sound at all similar. And I already say them, like I already mix them up. Why would you make them sound so similar?
I like it.
I don't. It is one of, it is always, Michael's like, what if we named another baby Charlotte? And I was like, absolutely not. I would never have Scarlett and Charlotte. That's so fucking annoying.
That'd be great.
That's so annoying. I also really hate it when children have the same names as their parents as first names. It's so confusing. Why would you do that? I mean, I know why. Narcissism, but you know, it's fine.
I think a
I am
good,
all
healthy
for
dose.
A middle name. Like, if you had a boy or a girl, honestly, and the middle name was Carmen, very pro, very supportive. Don't call them by their middle name, because I'm against that. That's someone who goes by their middle name. I don't love it.
Well, luckily for you, I think the first and last name is where I'd want to really plant that flag. So the next kid, regardless of if it's a boy or a girl, is going to be named Carmen.
Ah, well. So you're changing your last name, or just the kid will have a different last name than everyone
else? No, middle, first name Carmen, middle name Carmen.
Oh, okay. You said last name, so
sorry.
You'll understand
first
why I'm
name
confused.
And middle name. Yeah. I see the confusion. You know what would really help us not be confused is a healthy dose of capitalism. Capitalism, come talk
favorite.
To us. Yeah. We embrace the capitalist overlords. Take it away. And we are back. Our peace offering to the capitalist agenda is complete.
Everybody's favorite.
I was talking to someone yesterday who's like, I was asking what they do in their free time. I was like, what, like, tell me what your hobbies. And she was like, I just like to consume new things. And I was like, very capitalist of you. and it was actually a great conversation. Like, she likes to experience new things, but the way she said it was like just so funny. Anyways, okay. Take Andy and Brandy. Keep talking.
Andy and Brandy. I don't remember how old they are. They're not
six.
Super young. They're not six. They're babies. does this say how old they are? Okay. I will say Andy did have a slightly higher blood supply to the colon that they shared, so they had to split the colon. So that they could each have some, because I guess that's one of the organs that like regenerates if you cut it in half. I don't know.
Didn't know that.
I don't know. Maybe it's not. I'm. This is not a teaching hospital. This is literally me just guessing. Yeah, it doesn't say how old they are. That's annoying. Okay, I think they're like around one.
Yes, the colon regenerates itself through a process called. Epithelial morphogenesis.
Delightful. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I guess it has to be a healthy colon to do that because there are so many cases where they're like just pulling out, like they're just resecting colon and it's just, they're like, oh, they only have centimeters of their colon left.
I thought a colon was like a, I don't know.
It's
like
the large intestine.
It's in the large intestine. Okay.
No, it is the large intestine.
The colon is the large intestine?
I am almost positive.
No, then why would they have two different names?
They have a million different names for everything.
Hold on.
The colon is the large intestine. I just Googled it. This is a teaching hospital.
Wow. That's crazy. So, okay, you've got the descending colon, the transverse colon, and the ascending colon, and then the sigmoid colon, and then the rectum. I did not know that. Look at this. This is a teaching hospital, damn it.
I specifically remember that because in high school biology, the teacher said it and no one knew. And she got really mad and she was like, we're doing a terrible job teaching everybody.
Well, apparently I've gone my entire life not knowing this. So I thought the colon was its own separate organ.
No, but I mean, there are lots of things that have multiple names.
Man.
Like, you know, there's multiple names for a wiener.
Yeah. Peener.
Boner.
Schlong.
Speaking of penises, I did start watching Succession. And if you've watched Succession, I feel like you'll understand how I got there.
Do they show a lot of
penises? I'm only like three episodes in. No, it doesn't show them. But it shows things where you know that the penis is involved.
Sex?
Not only sex. No.
Blowies? Handies?
No, just jacking off. Masturbation.
Oh, okay. I'm okay. All right. Listen.
You all right?
I'm trying to think of some sort of joke, but I have nothing.
Okie dokie. Well, that's all right. We don't need it. Okay. So the twins. The parents, very young.
Yeah.
Very young.
How old are we led to believe that they are?
I'm going to have to guess the dad is 21 because he asked if there's a bar.
Yeah. And then the mom.
So I'm going to say 2021-ish. Yeah. I felt like, okay, so Lexi is updating them and the dad is really panicked because they're like about to do the flip and they know that the flip is a big deal and he's very nervous. So he's like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to a bar. Not great supportive partner, but whatever. And so then the mother, Gretchen, goes on this tirade to Lexi about how like everyone's judging them and they think they just accidentally got pregnant. They can't take care of the babies and blah, blah, all this stuff, which I would not have any issue with that monologue if they had shown us any reason that she would have thought that to be the case. Like even if
literally there was
earlier,
yeah.
Just like one of the doctors leaned over to the other and was like, oh man, can't believe these parents are so irresponsible or something. Because, like, also the choice to have it delivered to Lexi, easily, like, one of the least judgmental and kindest and empathetic people on the show, was also weird.
Agreed. Because
I felt like Gretchen was being sincere. I didn't think that she, like, the way she delivered it, I was like, oh, there's been things happening that makes her feel that way. It's just weird to me that we don't see any of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, while I don't think that being in a stressful situation and immediately saying I need to go find the bar so I can get a drink is also healthy, I don't think, well, I mean, emotions are high. She probably was lashing out. No, you're right. I don't think anyone was saying that around. There's no reason to believe that. And yeah, Lexi was like, I am not thinking that at all. I'm just thinking how great it is that, like, you have someone who loves you and, like, you guys are so supportive and, like, you guys
and you
great.
Get to be together.
Yeah. Because in her life, she doesn't get to be with anyone, apparently. So, which also, I think it's worth noting right before that. So, you've got Mark and Jackson. They're racing during the surgery.
Oh my God, I love them.
So, so funny. And they're talking. They have this small talk and apparently Mark and what's her name? Julia
and Meredith and Derek. Sounds like they went on a double date.
A double date.
Or they were
yeah.
at least hanging out. And Derek's like, who's met Julia? Who here likes Julia?
Yeah, that was a funny scene. And Mark looks over at Jackson and he's like, are you trying to race me? And he goes, no, absolutely not. And he goes, good, neither am I. And then Arizona's race. Like, not right, right. Stop it.
God, yeah, she's just like helicoptering too much.
But that was a funny scene.
Yeah. So what else about the twins? Oh, so they do initially, like, everything's going really smoothly with the surgery and the flip, and then they separate them and then they take them into separate ORs so they can do their skin flaps and whatever else they need to do. And I guess that's when they discover that there's like issues with the kidneys.
And right before that, the flip piece, so Alex goes to Hunt and is like, hey,
yeah,
man, Arizona, she kind of sucks, right? And Hunt's like, totally, I hear you. Anyone else want to do the flip? Alex is up. And Weber
immediately.
Which also,
to me, because they're putting so much emphasis on how much they've practiced it, I'm like, that also feels like a bad decision because, like, if you just put someone in who's watched it, there's no guarantee that they're going to understand it the way that someone who's been practicing it for 2 weeks is.
Correct.
Like, to me, it just feels like the better option is to just kind of be like, Arizona, this is important. Can you shut the fuck up for 5 minutes?
Right.
But
that
I
was
don't know.
Snaking number one of Richard Weber.
Yeah. Because earlier when he's in Alex's ear, he's like, so glad it's not me.
Man. And also what's so funny about that is I didn't think anything of it. I thought he was being like,
relatable, trying to relate to him.
Yeah, he calls him the Zen Yoda or something.
Oh yeah,
with the Aussie wife at home. Yeah. Gosh, Alex, you are wild.
And then also, this is why I think they had to make it Alex, so that when they're doing the flip, he's like, "I hope he drops that baby and her sister to push her around in a wheelchair for her whole life." And Lexi's like, "Oh my God, you're a terrible human being." And he's like, I'm just mad at Weber. I'm like, you're not putting that evil on him, though.
Yeah. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I say that constantly.
Good. Good.
So, yeah, Richard theft the parents. They do the Andy, I believe, is the one that is pulling through fine. Like, both kidneys, everything's great. They get her closed up and done, and they're going to take her to recovery. And that's when Alex is like, why don't we do a kidney transplant? Because, like, they shared the same blood supply. Literally, they're a match. And we'll just take one because they were sharing three kidneys, and then Brandy's is failing. So they go to pull the other one from Andy.
So am I led to believe that Andy got two and Brandy got one?
In the initial split, yes.
Okay, got it. So now they both have one.
Yes. And so then, it's so tiny. They do. It's a tiny little kidney.
Yeah. Like a little lima bean. Or
so
I guess a kidney bean.
Yeah.
Adoy.
Oh, you're doing great. Okay, so then Alex grabs the other baby, brings them back in for surgery. There's a very emotional moment when the mom's like, no, I can't lose them both. And she like breaks down, and at least the husband's there for that. Also before that, he comes back and he's like, oh, I went and got them separate outfits since they're going to actually be able to wear their own clothes. And then they make out really aggressively, aggressively.
Like uncomfortable.
And Lexi is trying to be like, yay, they're about to separate the babies. And they're like not even paying attention. And I'm like, this is weird.
It was so weird. And the dresses, I think it said punk and princess, and
yeah,
it was really cute. He said that they were going to, you know, let them we'll take pictures and then we'll flip them.
We'll
and then
take
they'll
turns
do...
and like see which suits, which yeah. one better.
But yeah, the making out in public in a hospital was just
like when your children are like,
could die. Could I at any
very,
second?
Right. We're in like a very precarious scenario with their lives.
Yeah.
And then that Lexi is like trying to talk to them and they don't stop. I'm like, you guys are horny.
I don't think even in my horniest, teenageriest of all days, I don't think I've ever macked on someone that intensely in public.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just icky. Icky sticky.
Yeah, it's really, really bizarre. Okay, so then, yeah, they take Andy back in. They do the transplant. Richard is like, oh, I'm so old and irrelevant. And Alex is like, hey, man, so sorry. Take this transplant. I know you're good at transplants because you're a general surgeon. I know you'll rock it. And then they're the surgery.
Really? Really?
And
are you sure,
Arizona's
Alex?
Like, why are you doing this? This was Alex's idea. And Alex is also in the room. And Richard's like, yeah, I fucking stole it from him because he's a damn moron.
twice in one day, picked, Alex. God.
I picked Karev's pocket like you have never seen in your life, Arizona. This idiot. It was so, so funny. And also, so when I want to back up for a second because I'm really confused about a scenario. When they bring Andy, Brandy, they bring one of the kids to the parents.
Andy.
And that's when Alex
she's finished.
Yeah. What I don't understand is they go in and they immediately, they steal that kid. There's no consent forms. There's no permission slips. They say, hey, introducing you to your kid. I'm stealing your baby because we need a kidney. Like, there's no documentation or asking questions. Is that legal? I don't understand.
It's possible that when they signed the initial consent form, they were basically like, you can do literally anything because it was such an experimental surgery. That would be my assumption.
Like, you have
also,
broad
they knew
immunity
they were going
for...
to have to split up organs because they weren't both born with every set of organs. So they knew it probably was in that initial consent form that, like, the organ distribution would take the path that the doctors saw best fit or whatever.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. I'm just like, wait, hold on a second. Because it was literally, hi, here's your kid. And Alex is like, I gotta steal. Gotta bring this one back in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Man. So the rest of that Alex and Weber scene.
After the surgery, when Weber's like, goes to Alex and Alex is like, bro, this is a teaching hospital. You were the chief
you were
forever.
The
you were the chief forever. Maybe fuck off. And Richard's like, I don't know, man. I feel like I taught you something today. Maybe don't give up your shit just because you feel bad for some old ass.
Take that sympathy and fucking shove it, dude. This is
I also
be a shark. Be competitive. Don't
yeah,
get,
when
get
he's
your
like,
head out of your
watch
ass.
Out. I might just teach you something tomorrow, too.
Oof. That was cold. That was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Again, it's like, okay, all right. Like, Alex, stop being naive. Like, of all the people in this hospital, you're not the naive one.
Yeah. I mean, he's stolen surgeries from people before, so it's not like he's out here being some kind of angel. Like, we know who he is. Again, I think that's why they had to choose to make it Alex. Because otherwise, Richard is the villain. Like, if it's Lexi, you're like, okay, Richard.
Oh, man. I hated just envisioning that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you know, it was terrible. When Mark is on the Bluetooth with Julia and he's like, oh, I really wish you would have been in there with me today. And Lexi's like, oh, me too. And he's like, oh, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to my girlfriend.
And she's like, so oh, sorry, I gotta go. I left my kitchen's on fire. I gotta run.
Yeah. So bye, have fun at school.
Bye. Have you ever accidentally talked to someone on Bluetooth, like while they are sitting there talking, or like they have one AirPod in but you can't tell and they're talking and like you have that awkward conversation? Have you been in those situations?
I typically err on the side of ignoring them. Because I'm like, if they repeat it, then it's for me.
There you go. Yeah.
Or I'll go, like, if it doesn't make sense, if it's just out of nowhere, I'll go, what? And then they'll like gesture to their ear and I'll go, okay.
Yeah. I wear my AirPods in typically one ear at a time. And even if I'm around people, sometimes I'll have them both in, but there's no music playing because I just want people to kind of like not think that I can hear them, and I kind of eavesdrop a little bit. But I don't think I've ever talked to someone not like thinking that they were talking to me and they were on their Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. But the saddest part about that scene is like Mark has a look on his face. Like Mark, after that, there's like a lingering look. They pan to him. He's like,
oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because I definitely don't think he's thought about the Lexi situation as it pertains to him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It feels like he's like, oh wait, this is a thing. This is, she has feelings. What?
Yeah.
So
And then
bum, bum, bum.
The end when
the babies
they
are
get
together.
To meet Andy and Brandy. And
they've met them before.
When they get to meet. No, they've met Andy and Brandy, not Andy and Brandy.
Do you see why this is stupid? The more you say it, do you hear it? Every
I
time
love
you
it.
Say it, I get annoyed.
I think I hope that I have twins so that I can name them Andy and Brandy.
I don't wish twins on your wife for the point of pregnancy. I feel like a twin pregnancy is harder. Twins, I'm sure, are also more to love, but also bring their own set of more needs because there's twice as many babies as there is when there's one baby. So.
Yeah, that's fair. But at the end, when they don't meet Andy and Brandy, but when Andy and Brandy are received upon them post-surgery.
Yes.
When I think it was the mom or the dad, when one of them goes, can we touch them? And all I could think of, that's a fair question.
Like, yeah.
Can I touch them? Are they okay? Yeah. Do they need to be sterile in like a post-op environment? I don't know.
Like a bubble.
Yeah. That's crazy. But they lived, which is great.
Yeah, it was great. It was good. Good, happy ending for the babies and the very young parents. And my truth is everybody grows up and is happy with their one singular kidneys.
Mm-hmm. And their shared colon that regenerated into a full colon.
One Saturday morning. Did you ever? That just reminded me of that. One singular kidney.
No.
Did you ever watch One Saturday Morning?
I don't know what that is.
It's on Saturdays in like the 90s and early aughts that on ABC. They would play shows.
The 90s
aughts.
And the early.
I love it when I say things that are just like normal things and you've never fucking heard it before. The aughts, which is like 2000 to 2010. That's the decade, the aughts.
The 2000s.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like
I've never
saying
heard it called
the 10s,
the
20s, 30s. That's wild because that's pretty standard.
Oh. Yeah,
anyways, ABC would play on Saturday mornings from like 8 to 11 or something. Shows that were only on Disney Channel, right? And so as the poors who didn't have the Disney Channel, that was like big time, but that would be how there would be like a theme song to start it, and it'd be One Saturday Morning.
I love it. I did not know that. See, we were so poor we didn't even have the TV. We didn't.
Well, that's not true.
No, you're right.
I know you had a TV.
I remember the day my father came home with a Nintendo 64 and then beat me
over
the head with
it. I never had a Nintendo 64.
No.
Did he really hit you in the head with it?
No.
Do you see how I have to ask? Because that might have been what happened.
I was talking to someone at work the other day, and I was like, I feel like my life is kind of a soap opera. And they're like, yeah. And I've known you for like 2 months. So.
It's, I wouldn't say full on soap opera. Soap opera is like people are sleeping with cousins and dying and coming back to life. But it's a little, it's a drama. Sometimes it's a drama.
Sometimes. There is one particular scene in the twin surgery that I wanted to shout out. That it's like it's kind of part of the Meredith storyline, though, where she brings. Okay. So also, like, I know this is leading into the next piece, but Meredith was pulled off of the surgery to help with Bailey being a buffer for her and Ben, which is just so funny. But at one point, Bailey like goes off on Meredith and is like, your life sucks. You're trash. You're a garbage person. But this isn't about you because I'm trying to yell at Ben. And Meredith is like, okay, well, now I'm sad. I want my
great.
Baby.
Everything's going really great. I'm so glad I'm here.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm missing a once in a lifetime surgery to help you out with this, Miranda. But she goes and grabs Zola and then goes into the gallery. And that's when Alex calls Weber an ass. And everyone's like, whoa. Language, Captain America here.
Like the
and
baby's
it was,
one, she's fine.
Yeah,
you can say like, yes.
So that's when he gives us the line of, you know, he pretends he's all sad and zen with his Aussie wife, and he's disposing this wisdom, and then he calls him Yoda. Like that whole scene is just very funny. I I like that it feels like now that Zola's in the picture, there's a little bit of normalcy to life. But that's mm-hmm. also, I think, when they're checking on, when Kepner talks about the Christina and Teddy situation, and she's like, it's like, dude, how are you doing okay? Like, this feels like a morgue every time I'm around Teddy.
Yeah.
So.
We'll chat on that more in a minute.
Yeah. Is there anything else? I know we got like, you know, five-ish or so minutes left. I guess we could end up early. Like, I think we've been very efficient with our time. Or we can do more shout-outs, because I have, like, 20 more shout-outs to do.
Dude, stop that. we can talk... Oh, we haven't talked about Cali calling out Arizona.
That's yeah!
Fucking finally. Well, first, when Cali and Derek are, before the kids are separated, they're in there because they're doing, I guess, the spinal part of the separation, which would be a pretty big deal. And Callie's like, there's a lot of scarring, there's a cyst. And Arizona's like, well, you have to take it out because it could be malignant. And Callie's like, yeah, we know. Thanks so much. And Derek and Cali are trying to like talk it through. And Arizona is like, let me just tell you every possible thing that could go wrong for every possible solution you name. And Callie's like, we are aware of the issues. We have to decide what to do.
Yep.
And then Arizona's like, Brandy might end up paralyzed. Callie's like, yes, no one understands that more than us.
And
so
that's
can you
on
just
us.
Fucking shut up?
Yeah, that was a nice, it was like, and you can see it was on Callie's face the entire time they were practicing, but she put words to her facial expressions in that moment, finally. And that was nice.
Again, was, Owen should have stepped up and done that at a
for
prior
sure.
point, in my opinion.
For sure.
But I was glad. And then at the end of the day, when Arizona's like, everything went so good. And Callie's like, you were a piece of shit all day.
You monster.
And Arizona's like, no, I was just excited. I was super helpful. I was so helpful for everybody. I was like, girl, you gotta look in the mirror.
Yeah. And then she over like mommy splains everything to Arizona to put it into perspective. And it's
not your
just,
way, my way, not your way. You're not doing it right. Yeah. But I liked that moment.
It's interesting that this episode came on the heels of Jess sent me this video, and I'm like not good at this. Like I tend to unintentionally micromanage Marlo's like playtime. Mm-hmm. And Jess sent me this reel, like literally, I think that day, about how kids that have micromanaged playtime like don't know how to play, and they haven't like don't learn how to figure it out and do solo play and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get better at recognizing it, but it felt like a situation where someone who is micromanaging other people doesn't let people fail, doesn't let people like find ways to mm-hmm. do the succession piece. And it's so true. It's not just with adults and like the professional environment, but it's true with children and growing up and learning and developing. So it was just
when you say you micromanage, do you if she's like building with the magnets, are you like, well, let's just build this instead? Like, how do you mean?
Yeah. Or like if she's literally building something that's going to fall in 2 seconds, I'm trying to show her how to do it so it doesn't fall.
So there's more
sustained play. Or, we have all these Thomas the Train wooden train set pieces,
mm-hmm.
and she kept like, I was building her a train track, and every time she would put her Paw Patrol puppy on it, which is also like, I wasn't going to fight that battle.
that is a losing battle.
Yeah. I was like, she was like destroying the track with her feet behind her because she doesn't have body awareness yet. So I was like, Marlo, you're destroying the track. And Jess is like telling me, just let her destroy it. I'm like, but the purpose of this is to play with the track. So that was when I backed off and I said, I'm just going to build you a different track, Marlo, that it's a giant circle and you're just going to be in the middle of it and you could do whatever you want.
Yeah, I have Scarlett is very into drawing and coloring right now. And she got, for Christmas, one of the things I got her was like this really giant coloring book and you can like rip the pages out and they're very large. And so at nighttime when she'll be like, hey, can we color together before bed? And I'm like, yes, because it's a very good way to settle down. And I was telling Michael, I was like, it is so hard for me to be like, to sit there and be like, don't color the Christmas tree orange. And I don't say it, but in my head, I'm like, why are you doing that?
Or like, Marlo,
I'm also like, it doesn't matter. This is not going in the Louvre. It is literally a coloring book. It is fine. But, and then anytime I start coloring something, she'll go, can I color the rest of that? And I'm like, no, I want to color it.
I've started this. Like, I will finish it.
I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to color this leg. You can color the other leg. Oh my God.
Yeah. The thing that really frustrates me about coloring is when she uses dry erase markers on paper.
Oh, I don't pull out the dry erase markers anymore. I'm like, well,
Jessica
does.
Know
why. Yeah, that's insane. I don't even know why they're in my house. Well, yeah. You guys have a dry erase board.
We have a dry erase
board. We have a dry erase board, but I don't pull that out very often either. So,
but she'll color on the countertops in the kitchen, and you know how I am with those countertops. So Jessica will like be coloring with Marlo, and then when she picks up all the paper and she cleans up, it's just red and orange and purple and green all over the counter that I now need to clean up because Jessica isn't going to do it. So it's annoying. I think coloring is my least favorite activity that children do.
I like coloring. I just, as an adult, you kind of are aware that markers are not the favorite coloring tool, but as a child, you're like only whenever you want to use markers.
Right.
Like as an adult, I'm a big fan of the colored pencil because you can get more shading. It's got a sharper edge, so you can get more details. So, but yeah, they just want to do markers.
Yeah.
We don't do Play-Doh, I will say. I know you guys do Play-Doh, but that one, I'm like, nope. Anyone who gives us Play-Doh, it goes to my dad's house. I'm like, you can play Play-Doh over there. Not here. Not for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't want to deal with it.
We try to do Play-Doh specifically like at concerted times, which is fine. I like the Play-Doh, though. I enjoy the Play-Doh myself.
It's just, that's another thing I definitely get too micromanaging about. Because I'm like, I know it doesn't matter. But in my head, I'm like, don't mix the colors. But I'm like, if they want to mix the colors, it's fine. I mostly just don't want it smushed into my rug or the dog to eat it. So I'm like, but someone else's problem.
Right. Well, let's say we do another episode, huh?
Yes. And we can start with everyone's favorite segment.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.